sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for your anointing in this service. Thank you that your will is going to be done. Holy Spirit, we need you. Thank you that not a single person is going to leave here the same way they came in, but thank you for energizing us, convicting us, and straightening us up and guiding us and leading us and directing us. Let us have your heart, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody in church building said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. So I don't think we're going to be too long this morning, but let's enjoy these six verses. I'm not here to entertain you. You guys know that. But let's enjoy this time together. Amen. This is a time where we come together and enjoy the Lord's word. This is just kind of to wet your whistle, so to speak, because we all know that God wants us to spend time in his word all week long. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. But Psalm 1, verse 1, see what the psalmist says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So God, with this psalm, is inviting us to look at two types of people. And in reality, the world breaks down into two types of people. The sinner, let me say it like this. The saved and the unsaved. Amen. Can I get a witness? Those that belong to God and those that do not belong to God. Amen. And I'll tell you something, that the sermon kind of breaks up into two kind of categories, but the last half of this sermon, if we get that far today, has been so convicting to me, or so convicting for me, about God has really been ministering to me about the lost, about those that have not yet made that decision to follow Jesus Christ. And how that is the most, obviously we know that's the most important decision that anybody can ever make. But sometimes my heart is not burdened like it should for those people that have not accepted Christ. I get aggravated with people that are in my family, Christian family. I get aggravated with people out in the street that serve a different master than me. And I don't always have the heart for God like I should have for these people that are unless God does something, they're doomed. Can I get a witness? You know? And this is a decision that they're making, but God says, look, it's your job, Paul. It's your job, Gray. It's your job, Dalton. It's your job, Dustin. It's your job, Josh, to spread the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, you know, to let the Lord use us to snatch people out of that fire. Amen. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but this psalm breaks up into two types of people. The saved and the unsaved. So we want to be this person that is blessed, or this person that is full of joy, this person that is happy. And God tells us right here how we can have joy in our heart, how we can be happy. So blessed is the man, or joyful is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So what the good Lord's telling us is we need to be careful who we take advice from, who we let influence us, okay? Because if I take worldly advice, it's going to lead to a worldly result, amen? If there's a progression here to this first verse. It says, blessed is the man who walks not. So it talks about walking in the counsel of the wicked. Then it goes, stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So the progression to this sin, or one of the traps of Satan, is to walk, stand, sit. I'll give you a couple examples. I'll try my best. I thought about this for hours. Well, for a really long time, I thought about how can I explain this to my family, what I'm feeling right here. Okay, so it goes, walk, stand, sit. So You ever went and shopped for a car before? You ever went to a car dealership? Please say you have. Please. It just helps with the example. I've used examples before and no one's like, it just like, nope, never done that before. Oh, great. Great. Okay. But you do know what it's like to go shopping for a car. You know, you pull up to the place, you get out, you start walking around, you start looking around, and it doesn't take, man, it takes like 3 seconds for that dude to bust out of them doors and to come to walk with you, right? So here you are, you're walking around, you're just kind of browsing, looking at the cars, and what's that guy doing? Well, he's walking with you. He's walking with you, and that's just the start for him. He doesn't just want to walk around with you. He wants to get you to stand still. He wants to stop. He wants you to stop and have a little conversation back and forth. He knows if he can have a face-to-face conversation with you, get you to stop walking around for a second and get you to have a face-to-face conversation with him, then he thinks, well, I'm a little bit closer to getting this guy, right? Okay. And then if he can get you to sit down in that car, oh man, he's getting even closer. If he can get you to go sit down in front of that little desk where you start talking about numbers and all that stuff, then he thinks he's really, really got you. And he probably does really, really have you. But that's how this sin thing works. Let me explain it to you like this. You're doing your thing. You're doing whatever you're doing, your daily whatever. Any day of the week, you're doing whatever you do. And you'll hear that voice. You won't even recognize it at first. But that little thing in your ear, some sort of negative thought, some sort of negativity about how hopeless something is, or what a horrible person you are, or some sort of temptation of some sort. You're just doing the thing. And Satan whispers in your ear, right? If he can get you to stop for a second and kind of chew on that for a second, you know, that's what he's wanting. But he doesn't want to stop there. He doesn't want you just to stop for a second and chew on it. He wants you to take a seat and really think about it. He wants you to give into it, amen? So there's a progression to this sin thing. And God says, if you want to be blessed, don't take advice from these cats. Don't let these folks pull you down, amen? Okay, so, but you are blessed if you do this. Number one, you're blessed if you don't do these things. Be careful who you let influence you. And then we see how sin pulls you down. Satan isn't just happy with just getting you off to the corner to take a part of a little something, something, something. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to completely destroy your life. You know, think about the guy steps into the pool. He just dabbles his foot in the pool a little bit. Now he's in the kiddie end. Now he's in the deep end. Now he's treading water. Now he's drowning. That's how the sin thing works. Can I get a witness? Amen. So, go with me to Genesis 4 and verse 7. Genesis 4 and verse 7. To me, this is a really good example of how this whole sin thing works, okay? And when I say sin, what I'm talking about, sin is you missing the mark. Sin is you missing the mark. Sin is God says do this and you don't do this. Sin is God says don't do it and you do it. You're right? Okay, so Genesis 4 and verse 7, we got the little story about Cain and Abel. So, got the two boys, Cain and Abel. Well, they both bring an offering to the Lord. Cain brings an offering to the Lord from his garden. Abel brings an offering from his flock. Now, this is important. Abel brought his best. Abel gave his best to the Lord. Cain just kind of went through the motions and gave something to the Lord. So, God is talking to Cain. Because he rejected Cain's offering. He's saying, Cain, your heart wasn't right, man. You know, your heart wasn't. So God is giving Cain some really good advice. And this is going to help us out. Genesis 4 and verse 7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? He's saying, Cain, wake up, brother. Okay. You're at a slippery situation right here. Okay. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. So there it is. That's that progression, that falling into a deeper situation. If you don't do well, if you don't change the way you're going, if you don't have a course correction, sin is waiting right at the other side of that door. If you open up that door to that sin, if you do it, Okay, something really bad's on the other side of that door. You know, picture a beast, picture a lion grabbing you and pulling you out. You open up that door, boom, it's got you, takes you off into the woods and devours you, man. That's kind of graphic, but that's kind of the picture here. We don't mess around with this stuff, amen? So its desire is contrary to you. Its desire is to have you. Sin's desire or Satan's desire is to have you. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what he wants to do in our life. You know, he can't have your salvation. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he can't have your salvation. You've been bought at a price, but he wants to make you miserable. He wants to make you hate yourself. I mean, he'll take whatever he can get, man. He wants to sideline you and have you mess up your witness, mess up your life, and make you one miserable Christian. Amen? And I don't want that for us. I don't want that for you, and I don't want that for me. But he says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? It's a hard thing, Cain. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, or its desire is to have you, but you must rule over it. Now, that's very important to the Bible-believing Christian. That's very important to us. Amen? We can rule over these things. We can take authority through that sin nature in our life through Jesus Christ. Amen? Remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not just talking about giving into some heinous temptation, and that's in there. And I'm sure we all struggle with different things, but what I'm talking about sometimes is we just live so miserable. We live so miserable because we believe the lies that Satan has told us. We live in fear. We live in depression and so much regret from something that has happened in the past, something that we did or something that's just happened to us, you know? And God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I got to put my foot down and say, Satan, I'm not going to live like this anymore. I want to have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I need to stop focusing on all this negativity and stand on God's promises. Can I get a witness? God is good, right? Okay, so Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. This is such a beautiful little thing right here. I mean, it is so simple, but how many of us really do this? How many of us really make God's word our delight? Yeah, amen, amen. Yeah, well, it's true. He's absolutely right. But instead of doing that, instead of doing those things, he says, do this, because I want to be blessed. Amen. You know, so I'm this age, you're whatever age you are. And I want to say with confidence that I'm done wasting time. I want to say that, you know, I'm done wasting time. But his delight. Now, this is an action that I got to take, man. I got to get into God's word. And when I get into God's word, it will become my delight. Amen. Not one time in my life, God's honest truth, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Not one time have I gotten God's word and thought after the fact, man, that was a waste of time. That was a big, fat waste of time. Because it doesn't happen like that. Now, Satan might lie to you, but God wants us to spend time with his word. And every time we spend time in God's word, we feel refreshed and encouraged. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So here's the comparison. Don't be like the ungodly dude or the unsaved person who refuses to follow the instruction of the Lord because he's got a different master. He's following his master, okay? So we have a different master, and God says, you're going to be blessed if you make your delight God's word and you meditate on God's word. Well, what does that look like? What does that meditating on God's word look like? Well, to think about it, man, to push everything else away. And I'm just thinking about what I just read in God's word. It's like we do it when we're watching TV or something. Somebody can be talking to us, or somebody who's very important in our life can be talking to us. And we're like, yeah, go ahead, feed the dog, whatever. Because you're watching something stupid, right? You're focused on that. God says, focus on my word. Focus on it. Meditate on it. What does this mean? Not just to somebody 3,000 years ago, but what does it mean to me today? Amen. And stand on these promises. When God says, stop doing it, we need to stop doing it because we want to be blessed. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Well, that's pretty severe, isn't it? To meditate on God's law day and night. You know how much trouble you're going to keep yourselves out of if we spend time in God's word? And when I don't have the luxury of reading the Bible because I'm driving around or I'm actually at work, but I'm spending, instead of letting negative thoughts come in, or you know, these thoughts from Satan, go ahead and do that. You deserve to do that just one time. That's a lie from the devil, you know, or whatever it is. You're such a horrible person. God can't use you. God is so, you know, look, when you get into God's word will give you a little flashing light. That's not me. That's the devil. I don't talk like that. I love you. Amen. So here's the deal, man. Think about God's word. We make it part of our life. And seriously, the more time we spend in God's word or thinking about God's word, the less trouble I'm going to get myself into. The less time I'm going to waste thinking or chewing up the lies of the devil, you know, meditating on Satan's lies about what a horrible, horrible person I am. Amen. That's not how Jesus sees me. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. That's a big, fat reason to rejoice. Can I get a witness? Now look, Psalm 119, 103. Right in the smack dab in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 119. It's interesting because Psalm 119 is right in the middle, and it's basically talking about how awesome God's word is and how you need to spend time in God's word and how you're blessed God's word. So Psalm 119, 103, and 104, this is kind of cool. How sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, I've said this before, but it's still true, just like it was last time. Honey doesn't just taste good, but honey is good for you, right? That's a true statement, man. Honey has all types of good stuff, right? Okay, you're supposed to eat local honey and all that stuff, but honey has all these amazing properties. It's good. But not only is it good for you, it tastes good. There's not a lot of things in this world that taste good and are good for you. If everything in this world tasted good that was good for you, I would be the walking picture of health. You know what I mean? But it just doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? But look, check this out. How sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. So God's word is good for you. But look right here, it says, your words to my taste are sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. So back then, in Bible days, there wasn't a lot of stuff that was sweeter than honey. Can I get a witness? Maybe some raisin cakes tasted good, maybe some dates. I don't know, but honey was like the pivotal, delicious, sweet treat. Can I get a witness? But the psalmist says this, your word is sweeter, more delicious than the best thing that I can imagine eating. And it's that much more better. It's so good for me. So that's a beautiful picture of how God's word is. It's I can't even relate. There's nothing in this world that I can compare God's word to. It's just better than anything I can ever imagine for me. You imagine traveling back in time, you know, a lot of talk about aliens and time travel, all this just weird stuff going on in the world today. But could you imagine for a second, if you had a time machine, just walk along with this, just humor me for a minute. So we got a time machine and we go back to the Bible days. And I got, because this is how I travel when I go on road trips, I got me a couple of Debbie Pies. And I got me a Hershey bar, just a standard Hershey bar. Here we go back in time. And looky there. There's a little David. Little David's about to go kill the giant. Let me go talk to him. Hey, David, you're about to do something really, really important. Like, and hey, check this out, David. Try this Debbie pie out, bro. He's got like cherry and apple all over him. The most delicious thing in the world. Yes, it is very delicious. He wouldn't even have a reference for how delicious that was, man. This is sweeter than honey. Yes, it is sweeter than honey. Now, try this Hershey bar. And he gets all that chocolate all over his face. And just, oh, it's so delicious. It's like, yeah, you can only get those in Philadelphia. No, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry. Hershey, Pennsylvania. But the stupid point, I said all that stupid stuff to try and make the point that the psalmist is saying, God's word is sweeter than anything I know. It's so wonderful and so delicious, and it's good for me, better than anything I've ever known. Okay, so look at verse 104. Through your precepts, let's read 103 again. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. God's word helps us see clearer. God's word helps us cut through all the distractions and all the fakeness. You know, God, spending time in God's word is so important to us. Here's the thing. Here's the ungodly and what they're going to do. Here's the unsaved and what they're going to do. And God says, you, Christian person, you're going to be blessed if you take instruction from God. How am I going to take instruction from God if I don't get into his hand? That's your job, preacher. No, that's not my job. That's for me. I got to stay in God's word, but we come together here to encourage one another and share this time together. Okay, but this, you couldn't survive for very long eating just one meal once a week on a Sunday, right? So why in the world would we starve our spirit, man? Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. That time of prayer, when I hear about people coming together and having little Bible studies and discussions about the word of God, I'm like super psyched about that, man. I think that is awesome. You know what I mean? You people coming together to share God's word and to discuss God's word. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. Good job, Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet, the weeping prophet. Look what he says. Your words were found. See, your words were found. We have to do this thing where we do a little bit of searching. You know what I'm saying? Like, Satan is going to try and walk behind me and whisper in my ear and distract me and get me all negative. And if I don't focus on God, if I don't focus on God and God's word, it's real easy for me to get negative, man. Really, really easy. I don't have to work hard on being negative. I don't have to work hard about talking bad about people. I don't have to work hard at that. I don't. But if there is this thing where God says, search my word. He wants me to put forth my effort and to get in his word. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, right here it says, your words were found. So here it is, your words were found. So Paul has a problem. I got a situation. I don't know what to do. Well, let me, instead of asking the unsaved their advice about this very serious situation, which isn't going to produce the fruit I need in my life, right? I'm going to get into God's word and I'm going to search God's word and see what God's word says. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to dig into God's word. And then God's going to meet me there and show me. There's an answer to whatever we're going through. It's in the word. Amen. Your words were found. I hope that made sense. Your words were found. If not, you'll forget about that confusion and I got a preacher buddy, believe it or not. He's kind of like my mentor. And one day he was talking to me. I was like, you know, man, sometimes, man, I really blow it. Sometimes I get up there and I study really, really hard and I pray, but I get up there and I just think it's just horrible. The most horrible sermon anybody's ever heard in the world. Maybe not that bad, but I've said, and my preacher buddy says, well, Paul, here's the deal. We all have days like that. Well, here, think about it like this. Nobody's to couple days down the road, they ain't going to have a clue what you did or didn't say, how bad you messed up. Ain't no one thinking about that. It's like, yeah, man. Yes. Yes, sir. Let me at him. Your words, but think about it. No, don't think. I've been there, but you know what God wants us to remember, we'll remember. And seeds are being planted. Oh my gosh, what am I doing? I ate them and your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. That's God's word, man. We got to make it our delight. Okay. You don't make, it's not, nothing is going to be your delight until you begin to partake in it. Amen. Right. Okay. Taste and see. Taste and see. Amen. Taste and see. You got to taste it to see that it's good. Okay. Anyways, moving forward, let's go to the next slide. Slide three. Is everybody okay? Okay. So Psalm 1 and verse 3. So there's all these pictures that we just read. Healthy, how delicious God's word is for us, man. Okay, anyways, Psalm 1 and verse 3. So this guy, this type of person whose delight is God's word, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. That's a powerful verse right there. So if I don't do this, I'm going to be blessed. But if I get in God's word and follow God's instruction, the comparison now is I'm going to be like a tree that is completely healthy, that a tree that has all the nutrients it needs. Amen. So when I'm in God's word, when I'm meditating on God's word, when I'm walking in obedience to God's word, I am spiritually healthy, right? And so when the attacks of Satan come at me, when he's starting to walk behind me, I'm going to rebuke him right there. No, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, man. I'm not listening to that no more. You know, that's not how God sees me. No, that's not going to be profitable for him if I go down that road. No, I'm not going to do that. You know? Okay, so he is like a tree planted by streams of water. You know, think about trees. I got to have water, right? Okay, well, see, everybody in this environment, in this region would get it, man. Yeah, man, tree planted by streams of water, because sometimes it's awful barren out there, right? It's awful barren, awful dry climate. And you know what? You're going to die if you don't have water. And just like those trees, you know, a tree's going to die if it doesn't have water. Well, here you are, Paul. If you don't stay in God's word, you're going to begin to wither up, man. You got to feed that spirit, man. You got to get in the word of God. Amen. So he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. I think that's really cool. That he yields its fruit in season. Underline that word season, right? Just kind of underline that in your neighbor's Bible there. It says that it, water that yields its fruit in season. So listen, what I'm saying to you is don't give up. Don't give up, okay? Keep trusting in God's word. Keep standing in God's word, okay? Because in due season, if you don't give up, you will reap a harvest. Amen. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Don't give up. Don't give up. In God's perfect time, okay? I'm going to hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. That is not the verse I wanted to say, but it's true. Somebody out there needed that one, maybe. I'm going to hold. I don't even remember what verse I was going to say, but you won't remember in a day or two. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that it does, it prospers. Okay, so we're talking about fruit right now, okay? In season, we are going to bear fruit. What's the good thing about fruit? It's good for other people, right? Okay, so when I decide I'm not going to take my advice or my counsel from the unsaved because I don't want that kind of result, amen, I don't want a worldly result, but I'm going to follow God's word, I'm going to meditate on God's word, I'm going to chew on God's word, and I'm going to be obedient to God's word. I'm going to be like this tree that has all the spiritual nutrients it needs, right? But also I'm going to be able to be that person that God expects me to be in other people's lives. You know what I mean? I can be the dad I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean? I could be the husband I'm supposed to be because I'm bearing fruit. I'm bearing that good spiritual fruit. Fruit is life. Fruit is nourishment. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is when I'm healthy, I can be a blessing to other people. When I'm spiritually healthy, I can be a blessing to other people. I can encourage other people. So just real fast, I want to give the Lord some praise. These trials, these storms, these things that we've went through in our life they weren't joyful seasons in our life. We went through these things. Well, God says, I'm not wasting those tears you cry. I'm not going to waste any of that. Okay? So us as Christians, we're going to bear fruit. We're going to give life. God is going to use us to give life and encouragement to other people. Because God has allowed me to walk through some pretty crazy situations that I never in a million years would have picked out for myself. But God allowed me to go through this, and he says, I'm not going to waste it. I'm not going to waste that sorrow. I'm not going to waste that. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Because somebody that has had a drug problem, that has had a real drug problem, can actually minister to people that have a real drug problem, right? God can use anybody. God can use anybody. But you look, sometimes you need to talk to somebody that's walked a mile in those shoes, man. That's not just going to say, well, this is what the Bible says. What the Bible says is true. There's no denying that, and there's life in that. But sometimes you want to talk to somebody that actually knows where you're coming from, man. You know what I mean? So God says, all those wasted years, they're not wasted, man. That's training, man. We're going to use that. You know, when you go do jail ministry, you know what? The guys behind the bars, what they want someone that really knows what they're talking about. They want to talk to somebody that's been behind the bars, man. Anyways, moving forward. Okay. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. Listen to this right here, because somebody just needs this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. God, who comforts us, the good Lord, who comforts us in all our afflictions. So when I'm going through something or I went through something, God was there. And he is bringing healing to me, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. God says, I'm not wasting that thing that you went through. We're going to use that to bring life into somebody else's devastated situation. To comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's just an amazing statement. That's an amazing verse. That's a life-giving verse. And we need that verse. We need to hang on to that and say, God's not wasting what I went through, even if I caused it all myself. God said, we're not wasting that, Paul. We're going to use that. We're going to bring some good fruit through that. Amen. So look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Well, here at Victory Life Church, we're not strangers to that verse. I say it all the time. But I just think it's such a powerful little stick of dynamite, man. You know what I mean? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It just kind of breaks it down in a way that I can understand that God's word, when I spend time in God's word, it guides me because there's a cliff over here. There's a cliff over here, and I got to stay on the right path. And there's a lot of things that can distract me. You know what I mean? And if I get distracted, I can fall off that cliff and get hurt. But God's word is like a flashlight, man. It lights my way, and it gives me the light I need to take the next steps to go where I need to go. Just a couple steps ahead. Can I get a witness? God's word guides me, leads me, directs me, keeps me safe. Look at Psalm 119:11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have stored up your word in my heart. So we're going to be soaking up something. We're going to be constantly, our minds, man, I don't know the science behind nothing, you know, but I know peanut butter and jelly mixed up in a bowl tastes good. But having said that, has nothing to do. Okay, whatever. What are we talking about? What are these silly things? I have stored up God's word in my heart. We're going to be soaking up something. Can I get a witness? You know, from your childhood, you remember the theme songs to every stupid show you watched when you were a kid. It's in here. You'll be driving down the road thinking about silver spoons, yeah, right? It's in here. It'll just pop up because we stored it, man. It's back there somewhere. You know? And we know, you ever been around these people? A lot of times couples do this, man. sometimes I'll hang out with people and they'll like start quoting scenes from a movie to each other. Like they'll start acting it out. And I'm like so lost. I'm like, what? And like, oh, that's from a movie. They have to say that we're pretending we're in that movie. Oh, that's cool. Whatever. You know, it's like, I didn't know. I thought y'all really had a body in the trunk. Didn't know. I was about to get the heck out of Dodge, you know, but I mean, we get all these things stored up in our minds and in our hearts, man, that, you know, it don't amount to a hill of beans. So we have to search for what is important and store it in our heart, you know, because we're going to be soaking up something, right? But look, we got to work at God's word. But, you know, how about these apples, man? How many of us could quote just a couple Bible verses? Yeah. You know, we need to grab a hold of some of those important life verses and memorize them, man, and meditate on them. So when Satan begins to walk behind you and whisper in your ear, you're not going to stop. You're going to say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to quote God's word to him that is hidden in my heart. And it's going to keep me on the right track. Amen. So let's go to the next slide. The wicked are not so. They're not like a tree that is completely spiritually healthy and that is able to bear fruit to be a blessing to others. We want to bear fruit, amen? But the wicked, and when we say wicked, wicked seems pretty hardcore. We think about axe murderer, whatever, fill in the blank, wicked. But it really just means the unsaved. You know what I mean? From just the person that has not given God any time, the person that says, Jesus Christ, I don't need you. I will do it on my own, right? From that person to the person over here that is just all out, what we would call just completely stinking evil, killing whatever, doing whatever, right? Because you don't have to be an axe murderer to not go to heaven. Amen. All you got to do is say, I don't need you. I don't need you. When you're saying I don't need you, you're saying, I'll do this on my own. Okay. Now you're under the law, or you stay under the law. And guess what? If you've broken the law once, you're a lawbreaker and you ain't going. All right. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Okay. So I already did that. Psalm chapter 1, verses 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The wicked not so. They're not productive. They're not bearing fruit. They're not like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. The wicked not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. So now we're talking about wheat and chaff. So the chaff is the part of the wheat that is useless. It's completely useless. Okay, so they would beat it, and then the wind would blow away the useless part. The chaff is lighter and it would get blown away, and it was useless, not good for anything. So God says, where the godly person who's taking God's advice is going to be fruitful and healthy, the unsaved person, guess what? He's not going to be fruitful. What he produces will not be any good, lasting, real result. Amen. Amen. And we don't want that kind of heritage, do we? No, we want to be a blessing. But it says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So we've talked about these two groups of people. We've talked about what these two groups of people do, or what they're going to produce or whatever. But now, look, this is where the sermon, or this is where our text kind of takes a really dramatic turn, man. And we're almost done, but this is where my heart gets really, 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 really grieved and where I've been so convicted. Now, let me read this again and just allow me a few more minutes, okay? The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. So we're talking about a productivity thing right here. And he says the ungodly, what they're going to produce is not anything good. It's not going to be fruitful, useless. But moving forward, look at this. Therefore, the wicked, or the unsaved, just the unsaved person, man. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now we're talking about a separation between these two types of people, these two very different classes of people, one saved, one not saved. And there's going to be a time and a place where God separates us. You know, we have the wheat and we have the weeds. And you know what? Church people, stop trying to figure out who is the wheat and who is the weeds. You know what I mean? God knows that. God knows that, okay? And he's the only one that needs to know. We don't know anybody's heart, okay? But anyways, moving forward, there's going to be a time when God separates the wheat from the weeds. Amen? He's going to separate the good fish from the bad fish that's in the Bible. But look at Matthew 25 and verse 32. This is Jesus talking right here. Matthew 25 and verse 32. Before him, before Jesus, will be gathered all the nations. This is talking about the final judgment. Before him, before Jesus, will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people. Not Paul. I'm not separating anybody. So I told you, Jesus, I told you that dude was no good. That dude could say the same thing about me, right? Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So here it is. Sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell, man. You know, that's what he's saying. Yeah, that's what he's saying, right? We want to be a sheep. We want to be his sheep. We want him to be our shepherd because he separates. There will be a time when he separates us. Amen. Yeah. Oh, I love you guys. Psalm 1, verse 6. Psalm 1, verse 6. We got that one, yeah. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let that pierce your heart. No matter how tired you are or whatever's going on in your world, I know you're going through. Listen to this. But the way of the wicked will perish. But the way of the unsaved leads to destruction. What's that got to do with me? I'm saved. Okay, you're saved. Goody, right? That's wonderful, right? It don't get no better than that. But do you have family members? Do you have friends? Somebody... Is there a way where you can sow into somebody's life, right? Just sow into these people's lives. Show them the love of Jesus, right? Because look, man, it's not just about not being productive for the kingdom here. You know, we want to be productive. And, you know, we have called to be productive, Lord. You know, we have been called to be productive people. But look, there's going to be a time and a place where those who have not accepted Christ are going to be put over here and we're going to be put over there. You know, we got to have a burden. We got to have a Christ-like burden for a lost and dying world, as opposed to walking around like we think we're better than somebody else because we don't get tempted the way they get tempted. You know, because we don't sin the way they sin. The way I rebel against God is completely better than the way you rebel against God. So I don't like you. Man, God loves these people that are so messed up. And now look in the mirror. Look who's messed up. Paulie's messed up. Right? For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Not just, God doesn't just know about me, but God knows me. He knows me and he loves me. And, you know, he knows all about my past and he loves me. He knows about what I'm going to get into down the road and he loves me. You know, he knows all about me. But what this is talking about is talking about also me knowing him, relationship. What do Christians always say when someone will say something like, well, I'm just not a religious person or I don't. Follow religion. Like, well, Christianity's not a religion. It's a relationship. That's true. That's true. It's not a bunch of rules. It's about accepting what Jesus Christ did for you. You know? So God says, I love you. I know you. And he wants us to grow in that relationship. How are we going to grow in that relationship? Spending time with him. How do you get to know somebody? Spending time with them. Amen. God says, I know you. And he wants us to know him. But check this part out. But the way of the wicked will perish. That breaks my heart, man. So I found out a little definition for parish. And so I kind of like this one. I mean, I don't like it, but I think it kind of helps me understand. But the way of the wicked will perish, or the way of the wicked will suffer complete ruin. We are going to exist somewhere for all eternity. Forever and ever and ever, we are going to exist. So Matthew 25:34. Remember when we just read the verse where Jesus was talking about in the end days, it'll be like a shepherd where the sheep and the goats are separated. So we're jumping back to that. Then the king will say to those on his right, the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Why are we blessed by Jesus' Father? Why are we in the family of God? Why is God the Father now our Father? We're blessed. We're blessed. We've been adopted. We're blessed because Jesus Christ was cursed. He was cursed so we could be blessed. Okay, so my sin was placed on him at Calvary. And his righteousness is given to me now. Okay, then the king will say to those on the right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So to me, that's just really, really excites me that God says, or Jesus just said, Jesus is God, but you know what I mean, that Jesus just said, God has prepared something for Dustin. God has prepared something for Sister Clancy. He's been thinking about us from before there was one brick laid in the foundation of earth, man. And he said, oh, Sister Claudia is going to love this so much. She's going to love this so much. Sister Nancy is going to love this so much. You know, Scott, you are just going to, your mind is going to be like, boom, I can't, man. Because we have relationship and he knows this. And he says, this is going to be perfect. It's going to be wonderful. Then the king will, don't get too excited, Scotty. We need you here, buddy. We need you here. Oh, my God. Then the king, no, I got you, man. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now look at the other side, man. Look at the goats. Matthew 25:41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed. Well, I thought Jesus was cursed so I could be blessed. Yes, but you have to accept that gift. You got to accept that gift. If you don't, you're saying, I'll do it on my own. And it's not going to work out. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So hell was not prepared for us. Hell does not exist for us. It was made for Satan and Satan's demons, Satan's fallen angel buddies. Okay? But see, if we don't accept that precious gift, that's our final destination. And eternity is a really, really, really long time. So yes, absolutely, I want us to be encouraged. I want us to stay in the Word of God. We need to want to stay in the Word of God, not listen to the ungodly. You know what I mean? Don't let Satan lie to you. Don't let Satan use anybody to distract you. Amen? Right? But stay in God's Word, and let's be obedient to God's Word so we can be productive, so we can be prosperous, because that's what it says, to be prosperous, to be successful. You know, if I go back, and you don't have to go back in your slides, but, you know, Joshua said this, or God said this to Joshua. Yeah, God said this to Joshua, which parallels what we're talking about in Psalm 1. But so look, Joshua 1 and verse 8, just in closing, God says, Joshua, you're now in charge, buddy. Moses is getting his reward, but now you're in charge. And you got a big job to do. But this is how you're going to be prosperous. This is how you're going to be successful. This book of the law, this is Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So don't just read it. Chew it up. Think about it. Meditate on it, right? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Man, that's what I want out of my life. We get sidetracked and we think, well, that means Psalms 1 and Joshua 1. That means that God wants me to have everything my little heart ever wanted. He's not talking about that, man. God's economy is really vastly different than ours. You know what I mean? In the way we think about things, you know? I'm not talking bad about having good stuff. Work hard, get it, man. Get it, do it, man. Work hard, get it. You know, just don't let it have you. Amen? Don't let these things rule over your life. But what he's talking about, being prosperous, being successful, is at the end of the day, looking back and saying, you know, Paul, you did it. You did it. You know, Dina, you did it. Sister, you did it. You know, you did what I called you to do. And who, man, who? I mean, it hurts me to think about me kneeling before my God and my Savior. And he says, look, Paul, look, I love you. You're going in, man. It's awesome. It's great, man. And, I mean, get stoked up about that. Look, I had all this stuff for you to do. You know, I picked you out to do these things. But you were content with just doing this right here. And this was fruitful, but I wanted you to bear much fruit. You know, I want to bear much fruit. Amen. And that means sometimes stepping into an uncomfortable situation and saying, hey, man, do you know Jesus? God bless you guys. Father God, thank you for blessing my friends, my family. Encourage us, guide us, lead us. Let us have a heart for the lost. Let us have a hunger for your word. And let us be obedient to your word. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.